we're going to really try to get this down. Yeah, thank you, Kurt. Appreciate it. Our life application for today is if I'm a spectator, I am helping who? So in the realm of Christianity, if I'm just a spectator, I'm actually helping the enemy. Who's the enemy? Satan. And so my goal now is to prove this point to you today. All right? So this is my statement. And this is what I want us to all grasp. Because when you leave here today, I want you to be convinced of this fact. Not convinced that if Clayton's a spectator, but you know, if I'm personally, each of you, if I'm just a spectator in Christianity, not meaning I don't claim Christianity, but if all my Christianity is I'm a spectator to what God does. Another thing I wanted to bring up that I did miss about what we watched in that video that's different about American Christianity and the Chinese Christianity that we looked at, is that in America, it's come to Christ if you want a better life. In China, it's come to Christ and expect to be watched by the government and life to be harder. It was very, very different. And the difference is that they're looking for a reward after this world, where a lot of Americanized Christianity is looking for the rewards right here. And so that's why when things get really bad, people will kind of make their way back in and see if they can kind of get it worked up again, get their life straight. But if things are tough, people just kind of fade off. And that's part of the difference. So let's say this together. Would you read this with me at this time? If I am a spectator, I am helping the enemy. All right, so when we look around the world, I thought about it this past week, and I posted about it this week. When 9/11 happened, because this was the anniversary of that time that happened with 9/11, and there was something that took place during that time in America. Is all of a sudden, we no longer looked at each other for a brief period of time. We no longer looked at each other as black and white, Hispanic. We stopped seeing each other as Republican or Democrat. We stopped seeing each other as North and South or whatnot, however you categorize yourself. We saw each other as American. And we saw each other with a common enemy. And that brought us together. And if you think about that, what will change Christianity is when we see the world and we see people as a common human being with a common enemy. That's what unites us. That's what brought all types of people together to sing a national anthem or to pray together, to drop things. That's what caused Congress temporarily, and I'm not trying to be political, I'm just saying it caused them temporarily to work together to do things. And there's more division now 20 years later than there's been in a long time. And the same thing we're seeing in Christianity. So let's look at this point right here. My common relationships with the world. What do I have in common with people all around the world? One of the things I have in common is that we have a common enemy. We truly have a common enemy. And there's another thing that we have in common, is that we have a common ally. All right, I want to say these two things together with us, because this is helping. Over the last few weeks, when you engage in this, it's really helped you to kind of stay together with it. And so let's do it together. We have a common
enemy.
And we have a common ally. Do you agree with those points this morning? No matter who you meet in the world, wherever you meet them, there's two things you're going to have in common. You have a common enemy and a common ally. And those two things alone should cause us to immediately be able to connect with anybody that we meet in this world. And it should also help us to tear down barriers with whoever we meet anywhere in this world. Whether we meet foreigners in our land or foreigners in their land, whether they're here legally or illegally, whether we're there legally or illegally, we have common things. Whether we have the same political views, we have a common enemy. And what I mean by a common enemy is we're all being hunted by an enemy that wants to devour us. Notice with me in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who?
Yeah.
The devil. As a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Let's read it together. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. There is an enemy seeking you right now. I have a cousin, and he is a federal parole officer, and he's married to a federal parole officer. Her job works with sex offenders. And they have a little girl. And I told him, I said, man, I feel so sorry for your little girl. I mean, y'all think Kinsley's going to have a hard time bringing a guy home. How would you like to meet a girl, guys, how'd you like to meet a girl and go home to meet her parents, and they're both federal parole officers? Yeah, my cousin said, when he comes in the door, I'm going to hand him his report. Here's everything I know about you right here. You know, I mean, how'd you like to meet that guy? But I talked to his wife, and she had said before, she said, I was talking about their jobs and what they know. They're more aware of what's in our world. And she said, I watched two little girls walk past our house down the neighborhood. And she said, I found myself crying. Because they were not aware of the danger that's around. Her heart went out to people she did not know because she saw them as someone she understood something. There's an enemy out there. And I'm aware of it. If we as Christians could get that. If we could see people and understand this, there is an enemy that's doing something. See, she understands something. The sexual predators are just that. They're predators. They're seeking. What she was looking at and saying is that those two right there are vulnerable. They're about to walk out of my sight into an area where no one's watching them but predators. She understands they're being hunted by someone that wants to do them harm. All around this world, every person that you see is being hunted. That's what this Bible says. This is not speaking to Christians. This is speaking to us as human beings. All around this world, the devil is walking about. And what does this word in yellow say?
Seeking.
He is seeking. He's seeking those whom he may devour. That's not a Sunday school lesson. That's a danger. That's real life. Every person, every moment of the day, is in danger because there's an enemy that's seeking after you. That's why we pray for our children. That's why we pray for our spouses. We pray for ourselves. There's an enemy. Every day that you wake up, you have to understand there's a target on your back, not because you're a Christian, but because you're a person made in the image of God. And there's an enemy that hates you. For that purpose alone, he hates you. And he's not trying to aggravate you. He's trying to devour. So many times you hear people say, oh, the devil's just been on my back all day. No, he's not. If the devil's on your back, you wouldn't be here telling me about it. He's not seeking to aggravate you. That's your older sister. I say that because I have an older sister. It's a joke, though. She's a good sister. The one seeking to devour you. We have a common. And just as I was listening to your story earlier, there was an enemy seeking every day of your life. Missions Me and SLBC means we're aware of an enemy. And we realize that when we come into these doors, that we're meeting, and what we're doing is we're building protection over our enemy. You know, the Bible says something about those that are outside the church, and not just the church walls, but outside the participation part. They're vulnerable to Satan's attacks. I do not push church attendance. I do not push you to be committed and a part of this because I seek numbers, and that's been proven. I've been here 20 years long. I can say that statement with and there's no refuting that. I seek your participation because there's an adversary that's looking to devour you. If he can separate you from the family of God, he is well on his way to devour you. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion. What a lion does is he follows the pack. And when those stragglers get a little bit away from the pack, that's the ones he targets and that's the ones he goes down. Those are the ones that have no protection. And that's why the Bible gives us this description. And that's why it's important for us. Don't come to church because your life will be better. Don't come to church and be here today because you should do it or maybe God will do more in your life. Come here because there's an enemy that is seeking to devour you. It's That's why the Bible says, compel them, go into the hedges and the highways and compel them to come in. There's an enemy that's seeking to devour. There's a real place called hell. There's life here on earth that people live in misery because Satan has captured them through addiction, through depression, through misery, through anger, through bitterness, and he's devouring their life. That's what he's doing. Be faithful. Read your Bible each day, not because it will bring you good luck. Read it each day because there's an enemy that seeks to devour you. Pray every day for protection because there's an enemy seeking to devour you. Pray for those who are lost, looking at these people that we saw in other parts of the world and realizing that what makes them different is that there's a reality there. You know, that persecution they're facing makes them more aware of the enemy than we are aware of the enemy. What we've lost in America is an awareness that there's an enemy seeking to devour us, our children, our spouses, our family, our friends, our strangers, our neighbors. I watched the films and the tapes of 9/11 and the things and statements that were said. But one of the statements said that there was a faceless coward that attacked our country. And it was difficult because there was no person to vent that at, no face to put that with. But it did not stop our country from committing itself to each other and to a cause because we recognized there was an enemy. You know what we did? We subjected ourselves and said, you know what, we'll accept long lines at train stations and airports, and we'll change our lifestyle. We'll go into stadiums now with leaving our bags in the car or having clear bags that people can see through. We'll change our lifestyle. We will be inconvenienced because there's an enemy and we want to be safe and protected. And if we as Christians could look at that and say, I will change my life because I will be inconvenienced, I will be uncomfortable, I will be committed, and I will be faithful because there's an enemy and I want that protection, and I find that protection in the house of God. This is not the fault of the average Christian or the church member. It's the fault of us as pastors and leaders who have promoted trying to get people in church. And so we've tried to promote it in different ways. There's a reason to be here. One of those reasons is we have a common enemy. When I look out, I want you to understand my heart in me. When I look out and you're not here, your seat is empty. Whether it's sickness, or something at work, or something that cannot be avoided. I may understand that reason, but there's still fear. Because I know that there's an enemy that's trying to separate you from that. And I know what comes next. I have been there. I have been separated. I have my life attacked by Satan. I know what it means. I know what it feels. I know what it does. We're here because there's an enemy that seeks us. We have a common enemy, but I also said we have a common ally. The Bible says something else. It says in Luke chapter number 19, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Would you read this verse with me today? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. There's a common word that we find in both these verses. There's an adversary that seeks us, and there's a Savior that seeks us. The enemy comes to devour. Jesus is coming to deliver us. These two things should unite mankind all around this world. This morning you ought to commit yourself to dropping every barrier. I understand there are certain barriers and some things that I understand that. But I'm saying we ought to stop at a point and say there's a line where I may have to disagree with people, but there is a line where I will still see them as a common person who has a common enemy and a common ally. And I will not let anything and any disagreement come between me and keep me from seeing that enemy. Jesus is doing the same thing Satan's doing. He is seeking. He's seeking you and seeking me. Every day that you wake up, every day of your life, from the time that she was born, when Kinsley was first born, that first day that you brought her into this world, there, and really before that, because the Bible teaches us that life begins in the womb. If you don't believe that, just ask Jessica. There was life in the womb. And she was being hunted every day. By an enemy and an hour. Keep her in this place. with all her running and all her screaming, getting her ready in the morning, it's pulling your hair out, saying, is it worth it? It is. Because there's an enemy. And there's an ally. And both are seeking her every day. Which one will prevail? These precious little children that are in our back room back there with Sandra and Peyton. Chloe is sitting right here. All of us, but every day, there's two people seeking them. Who's going to prevail in their life? When their last breath is done, who's going to have them as a trophy? Somebody. Our common enemy or our common ally. That's why it's worth it. That's why it's necessary. But I made a statement earlier, and I said that if I'm just a spectator, then I'm helping the enemy. See, right now we're focused on fact. Everyone's being hunted. Everyone's being sought after. And a spectator sits back and says, boy, I hope that side wins. I hope that's the one that prevails. That's a spectator. A spectator may wear all the right gear. They may cheer a little for their team. But it's different being a spectator because there's no personal involvement. A spectator, if all I'm doing is watching and hoping that the right side wins in the end, then I'm actually helping the enemy. I want to kind of share some of that. My activity... I am seeking the lost with Jesus, or I am leaving them for Satan to devour. Think about that. I am actively seeking the lost with Jesus, or I am leaving them for Satan to devour. I'm doing one of those two things. Those of you who do not have children, of course, we want everyone saved, but we're really just, it's easy to get your to focus on these children. You don't have children in this church, but every time that you get up and you come on a Sunday, you're keeping these doors open. Every time you pay your tithes, every time that you do a support, every time you come out for anything you do, everything that you pray for, you're keeping the doors of this church and this protection of this church body available to these in need. That's what we're doing. But we must engage, actively seek. Beyond the doors of this church, I am gathering the lost with Jesus, or I am scattering the lost from Jesus. Now, you may disagree with that statement, but you would have to disagree with the Bible, not me. This is not my statement. This is not my thought. I didn't put this together. I wrote this, but it's just rewording what the Bible's already told us. And that's what I want to prove to you today. Notice the verse of Scripture where Jesus makes this statement. He that is not with me is what? Okay? He that is not with me is against me. We could all agree with that. We could all understand. And that's why we say, wait a minute, I've got my Jesus team on, shirt and uniform on. I've got my banners and I cheer for the Jesus team. I'm with him. You know, I'm on that side. I'm coming to church. I'm a part of it. I am with him. As he said, he that's not with me is what? And we don't want to be against him, right? So we're what? We're for him. But are we? Because Jesus does something. He always, always, always clarifies what he means. He never leaves it for us to determine whether or not our definition of being for him or whatever he explains. So he doesn't just say, he that is with me, he that is not with me is against me. He explains and says, he that gathereth not with me does what? All right, so let's read this together. And let's read it loud, because y'all are starting to fade just about that much. All right, so let's pray together. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You remember my statement earlier? If I'm just a spectator, I'm helping the enemy. Because Jesus said, if you're not gathering with me. That's an activity, isn't it? Let me try to explain it this way. Gathering. Is that a spectator thing? That's an action. I'm not gathering if I'm just watching. Years ago, my dad did some work. He worked at the back during the summer, during some time that he was out of work. And we used to love to go. He had to take us because nobody else would watch us. He didn't trust us at home. So he'd take us out to those tobacco fields where he would work with those people, and he would pull tobacco. And I watched him. And I watched others. There's a guy out there, a younger guy, and he worked at Food World back then. Anybody remember Food World? Mm-hmm. And me and my sister somehow, and whoever else was there, we had this neat little song. We would sing, "Mr. Food World Man, please raise your hand." And out there in the middle of the field, you see this hand come up. You couldn't see him or anything. He's out there just pulling back. I know he got so sick of us, but he would always raise his hand. So he just couldn't give up the kids. But we were, they're out there working, sweating, getting tobacco gunk all over. And we're standing on the sideline singing songs and getting him to raise his hand. Was I working in tobacco? And I was watching people. There's not a leaf of tobacco that came in out of that field because of me. I was just watching. But more so than that, Jesus said, "You're not actually gathering with me. You're scattered. You're scattered." I thought about this morning. I've got two young boys here in this building with us today. If he were to stand up and say, "I just got a text that said my boys are missing," and if this guy finds him first, he's going to kill him. How many of us would say, "I'm on Team Kurt, I hope you find them. Let's stand here and sing songs and cheer Kurt on while he frantically searches for his children"? There's not a one of us in here that can do that. We would quickly, immediately begin to search for them. Because we would have no peace in our heart to sit back and say, "I sure hope he can find me before it's too late." Some of you that's got years on your life, weak, you search. No limitation, physical limitation of anyone in this book will keep us from searching. No schedule that we have today would prevent us from searching. It's not one of us would come up and say, "Kurt, I've searched for 5 minutes, but I've got to meet my parents in a little while for dinner. Let me know how it goes." We'd search all night, perhaps. We would search until we found it. One way or the other. Yet there's people in this world that are dying. They're being hunted. Jesus says, "If you're not gathering with me," that's an activity. "You're actually making my job a lot harder. You're scattered. You're scattered. So gather with me." Today, you're in this building. Every day, there's an enemy and an ally. The enemy is looking to destroy you. If you're a Christian, he cannot take that from you, but he can work hard to destroy your life. He can work hard to destroy your testimony, destroy your joy. There's an ally. Every day he's seeking you. He's seeking to protect you, to have fellowship with you. Every day of your life, you're helping one of these two people. Actively seeking to gather souls for Christ and helping him. Or we're helping Satan by just not helping Christ. Making his job easier. Making him have the advantage. This is reality. This is the world in which the Bible teaches us. When we watch the video of those in China, that's the reality that they understood. Every day. The young lady said in there, in China, if you choose to come to church, you are accepting that you will be watched by you are accepting that you may lose your job. Some have lost their lives. There are seven continents. There are seven places in this world for us to pray for, to actively engage in. Say, God, what is it that I must do? I want to help God. I want to be on the side that's helping. Let's read this together again. And I hope that by now I have proven this point to you. If you walk out of here knowing this, that this is now not a statement that you questioned, it's now a reality that which you live with. Let's read it together. If I am a spectator, I am helping the enemy. Today, would you choose to no longer be a spectator? To be actively involved in gathering souls to Christ. But how do I do that? Begin with serious, sincere prayer. You begin by not allowing Satan anymore to let you see people by their colors, nationalities, politics. See them as someone being hunted by the enemy, sought after by our ally. You recognize that in order to reach them, we must do something. We must do something. If you're here today and you look over and you say, this is our baptistry, it's been a long time. Sure wish our church would see some more people saved. It's time to be active. Be active. Talk to somebody about Christ. Persuade them to come to church to get their life, you know, smoothed out. Teach them there's an enemy that's pursuing them. And there's a safe place where they can find protection. A shelter for God that loves them. Compel them to come in. The video we watched earlier is in Cuba. 20 years, they've established over 15,000 churches. Not buildings. Communities of people. And house churches all around. They're training men and women in very rustic areas. They're chosen by the church and they train for a year. And they go out and reach unreached people in their now they are now sending missionaries beyond the borders of Cuba. They understand that if we were there, missions, me and SLBC would be there. They would understand that thing. Let's be active here. Let's bring people to the house of God. Let's bring people to the knowledge of God. Let's pray for, beg God for. Let's talk to them. Let's gather. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. That's my wife to come. She's going to play softly the song we're going to sing in just a little while. Rescue the Perishing. while she prepares that, as you are there in your pew, I hope there's a thought that you'll take with you today of truth. I'm a spectator. Help the enemy. We're grateful and we rejoice today that you are saved, if you are. We rejoice with that. We celebrate with that. But we have a mission. I don't call you to join our church. I call you to join our mission. The mission has been given to gather souls at home and abroad. The mission of keeping the doors of this safe house open that we call a church, where men and women can hear about a God who seeks them every day to deliver them. To deliver them out of the hand of an enemy that seeks them every day to devour them. Would you pray? Would you commit yourself? To recognize today that every time that you're active in what this church is doing, you're active in the mission. Would you be faithful? Would you reach out to those that are drifting from the path, straying from church? Would you pray for them intently? They'll get back closer to the place of protection before the enemy takes them down. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, today I pray, I thank you. Lord, when I was separating myself from the church, I thought mostly about the people that attended, the way it was done, or what I enjoyed. I just, Lord, I don't know, I just couldn't get myself to go sometimes. I was young. Never enjoyed it. Never enjoyed the moment that I was out of church. I knew it's where I need to be. God, when I was out, I could see that my enemy, the devil, was actively working my life, Lord. I watched him take it apart step by step. Yet I never would do what I knew I needed to do to get back in church. Till the day that you changed my heart. Many years I had people praying for me, consistently. I'm grateful. Now today, Lord, I see others. Part of our church, I see the unsaved, I see those around this world. And I want to gather. I want to gather them together. Put them under the umbrella of protection that you created and called the church. I want to join with men and women and boys and girls right here in this building to save souls and carry out the mission. I want us to live out missions, me and SLBC. I want us to see we're only spectators. We're helping the enemy. We must overcome our fear of failing, being neglected or rejected, and we must serve, fulfill our mission. Lord, today I pray for the strength, the courage, not just for myself, for my church family, as we join this mission to reach our community, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and beyond. I pray for us today to have results. See success. See men and women delivered out of the hand of the enemy, serving you. I pray for our boys and girls, our young children. As they're being sought and hunted every day, I pray for their protection. I pray for their deliverance. I pray for Pray for them to come to know you and live with you and gather with you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand all around the building with me? I'm not a spectator. I'm helping the enemy. We're going to sing together this song, Rescue the Perishing.